You're listening to a message preached at Front Range Baptist Church by Pastor Dean Miller. It is our prayer that this message will be a help and an encouragement to you in your spiritual walk. Now, here's Pastor Miller.
John chapter 14, I'm going to read for you one verse out of the book of Colossians. We read this last week. Paul said, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you. How many of you remember Carl from last week? You remember Carl with his moped? Some of you forgot last week already. But Carl got a moped and he pedaled that thing all over the place till he was as tired and wore out and sweating and wrung out as he could be. Till he learned that you could put gas in that little motor and you didn't have to pedal. And after we taught him how to do it, Carl drove that thing. He never pedaled that thing again. He rode that moped all over town using the engine. Now listen, this is how many Christians are living their Christian life. We live our Christian life in our own power and our own strength. I want to tell you one of the most dangerous things that I've come to realize happens in the New Testament church is that many of us have been saved so long, we've become a professional Christian. We've learned how to talk the talk. We've learned how to walk the walk. We've learned how to look the look. We've learned how to show up. And let me just tell you something right now. Many Christians are living a life, calling it a Christian life, but listen to me, it doesn't require Christ at all. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about that. Many Christians are living a life. Hey, husbands, does it require Jesus in you to love your wife? Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? Or can you do it on your own? Parents, are you raising your children in the strength and the power of the Lord? Or are you doing it on your own, in your own wisdom, your own understanding, and calling it Christian? Sunday school teachers, are you teaching your class in your own ability, your own wisdom, your own strength, your own talent, but it doesn't require Christ? Now, I will tell you, you can call it whatever you want to call it. Anything you do in your life that doesn't require faith and reliance and dependence and the power of Christ in you, you can call it whatever you want. But let me tell you what Jesus calls it in John 15. He calls it nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So if I preach this message today, but I preach it apart from the power of Christ in me, I've done nothing. And as Christians, we need to understand what we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus was trying to explain all of this to his disciples in John chapter 14. Look at it, please, in verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's unfortunate that we only usually read these passages of scriptures at funerals, because these are not dying passages. These are living passages. These are not passages by which we die. These are passages of scripture by which we ought to live. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be with, that there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then in verse number 8, Philip pipes up and he says, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice us. It'll satisfy us. Just show us God. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now everybody look right up here for just a minute and you pay very close attention to the next thing I'm going to tell you. Jesus was telling these disciples that he was going away. And they were not understanding and grasping how they were supposed to live without his presence with them. Lord, where are you going? How do we know where you're going? How can we get where you're going? And they said, Lord, just show us where the Father is. And that'll be suffice us. We'll get there. And Jesus said, look at me. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. And everything I'm speaking to you is what the Father is speaking to you. And all the works that I do is the Father doing them. Remember this, church, and listen to me. Jesus was about to teach these disciples something about how to live his life without him there. He was going to die, be buried, rise again, and then he was going to ascend back to heaven. And how were they to carry on this Christian life without Jesus there? They had been living with him. They had eaten with him, handled him, touched him. They had been with Christ every day for 3.5 years. And now he's going to go away. And Jesus was giving them this principle. He said, listen to me. Everything that I have spoken to you is God speaking to you because he's in me. And all the works that you've seen me do is God doing them through me because he's in me. Jesus had a principle he lived by. He said, I did not come to work my works. I came to work the works of him that sent me. Listen to me. Jesus came here as a man filled with God. The Bible tells us that it was God in Christ reconciling the world. Jesus did not come here to work his own works, to speak his own words. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He did always the works of his Father. And Jesus lived a life with God in him. Everybody understand that? Now it's important that you understand that, because what he was about to do was tell the disciples that that's how it's going to work for you. I'm going to go away, but Christ is going to live in you. Look down here in verse number 16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, or I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said, look, now I'm going away. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Heavenly Father to send another comforter. And that comforter is going to come, and he is going to be with you forever. Now, let me just tell you right now, that ought to give us the greatest peace and assurance as believers of anything, that the Holy Spirit is going to come and be with us forever. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit seals us into the body of Christ. He seals us. You know what the Holy Spirit does when you get saved? He's signed, sealed, and waiting to deliver. And he is going to be with you forever. Look at verse 17. Who is this comforter that's going to abide with you forever? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here's Jesus saying in John 14, he said, listen, the world can't understand this Holy Spirit because it doesn't see the Holy Spirit. But you know who the Holy Spirit is because he dwells with you now, because Jesus was there, a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He dwells with you now, but shall be in you. There's coming a day he's going to dwell in you. And Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Now watch. I will come to you. Now the disciples were wondering, okay, Lord, you just said you're going away. You said you're going to go away, and you're going to go away, and then you're going to pray the Father to send another comforter to us, and he's going to be in us, and then you're telling us that you're going to be in us. And they didn't understand that. And you know what I'm afraid of? I'm quite afraid that many Christians today don't understand it. I'm afraid that many Christians don't realize the power of Christ in you and who you are in Christ and what it means to have Jesus Christ living in you. Let me just say this. Number one, and I want you to get this down plain. Number one, Jesus is speaking here of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the other comforter. And here's his ministry. The Holy Spirit, number one, was to restore the presence of Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit was going to be given to restore the presence of Jesus in us. Listen, can you imagine being Adam? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and here comes God in the cool of the day, and they're walking with God face to face as a man with a man, friend with friend in the cool of the garden. You say, wow, how wonderful would that be that he just showed up and he would walk through the garden with them and they would fellowship and walk with God and talk with God. But then man sinned and God drove them from the presence of the garden. He put the cherubims with the flaming swords there. Man was not going to ever come back in his own will and by his own volition back into the presence of God. God. Man had been cut off from God. In other words, man died spiritually. The minute Adam ate of that fruit and became a sinner, he was cut off from God. He had no fellowship with God. He had no access to God. He had no way to God. There was nothing man could do to get to God. He was cut off from the presence of God. So when Jesus came, he came to reconcile us to God, to reunite us with God. Jesus came so that he could take away the thing that separated you and I from God. And what was that? Our sins. He came to bear our sins in his body. He died on the cross of Calvary to carry our sins away. Now listen to me. Listen to me. And when he did that, he opened the way now. Jesus is the way for man to God. Look, no man is going to come to the Father through joining the church. No man comes to the Father by taking communion. No man comes to the Father by living a good life. No man comes to the Father by keeping the Ten Commandments. No man comes to the Father because he's a deacon or a pastor of a church. You come to the Father. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to come one way, and that is through Jesus Christ alone. So when Jesus opened the way for us to come to God, he did something more than that. He opened the way for God to come to us. You know, there are many Christians who wonder, man, what would it have been like to be Adam and Eve and walk with God in the cool of the day? I want to ask you this question. What do you think Adam's going to ask you when you see him, when he says, what was it like to have God living in you? What was it like to not have to wait for the cool of the day for God to show up? What was it like to go to bed at night knowing that God dwelled in you? What was it like knowing in the morning when you wake up that God dwells in you? What is it like to go to work with God? What is it like to go into every aspect of your life with God, that God dwells in you? Now, I want to tell you, there are Christians ignorant of that. Paul was actually shocked when he was writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, what? I mean, he was surprised. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit moves in when we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Listen, here's what he was saying. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was an active principle with men. He was active in David's life. He was active in Samson's life. Holy Spirit came upon them. They did mighty things. The Holy Spirit's always been active in men's life. But in the New Testament, he was not just active among men. Listen to me. He was now able to live in men. Through the cleansing of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now can dwell in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is it the Holy Spirit living in me or is it Jesus living in me? Yes. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter and he's going to dwell in you, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God. He's going to live in you. And when he does, look at your Bible, look at verse number 17. He says, the Spirit of truth. Now look at the last of that verse. He shall be in you. Then look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look at verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Man, what a thing to comprehend that Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to live in you. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, I'm going to come live in you. And your life is going to be in God and I in you and you in me. And you talk about a fellowship and a relationship and an intimacy that we have him living in us as we live in him and he is our life. So the Holy Spirit comes to restore the presence of Jesus in us. Listen to me. The Father is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he comes to you to restore the presence of Jesus Christ in you. And you can say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let me give you number two. Not only does the Holy Spirit come in to represent or to restore the presence of Christ in you. But number two, he comes to represent the person of Christ in you. He comes to represent the person of Christ in you. You're in chapter 14 of John. Look down at verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. Look at this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is. The Bible calls him here a comforter. That is the word paraclete. It is the exact same word that is used in 1 John chapter 2 when the Bible says in 1 John 2, my little children, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. The word advocate and the word comforter are the same word. Now watch this very carefully. As I stand right here, I have an advocate with the Father in heaven. And that advocate is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is representing me before the Father. Now, church, look it. You don't get this because you feel this. You get this because you believe this. You need to know this. This is not something that you feel. This is a fact that God has given to you. When you get saved, listen to me, when you come humbly before Jesus Christ and you come with repentance and faith and you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, believing he died and that God raised him from the dead, the moment that you get saved, God puts his Holy Spirit in you and God puts you into Jesus Christ. Now watch this. That means in heaven, Jesus is representing me. So when God sees Jesus, he's looking at me. And when he sees me, he's looking at Christ. And the Holy Spirit is representing to me Jesus in the same fashion that Jesus is representing me to the Father. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me of Jesus Christ. He is teaching me his word. He's teaching me his truth. He's teaching me how he lives. He's teaching me how he thinks. He's teaching me how he speaks. He is representing Christ in me. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' representative to me. The Holy Spirit of God, listen to me, takes the things of Jesus and he makes them known to me and he makes Jesus real to me. You say, how do you know Jesus Christ is real? He's real in me. How do you know he's real in you? Because he lives in me. Well, how does he live in you? Because the Holy Spirit has made him real in me. Does anybody understand that today? The Holy Spirit makes Jesus Christ a living reality. There are so many Christians who claim the name of Christ. They claim to be saved, but Jesus Christ is not a living reality in their life. The Holy Spirit brings Christ into us, and he represents Christ to us. Look over with me, please, in John chapter 15, verse 26. We've got to hurry a little this morning. Listen to John 15, 26. But when the Comforter has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, watch this, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of who? Of me, Jesus said. He shall testify of me. Look over at chapter 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God, when he comes into the believer, he does not represent himself to the believer. He does not speak about the Holy Spirit to the believer. He doesn't make manifest all these signs to show people that you have the Holy Spirit. That's not what he does. That is a perversion of salvation. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to live within the believer, does not magnify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit magnifies Christ. He teaches you Christ. He reminds you of his word. He teaches you of his way. He leads you in his will. The Holy Spirit becomes the active person in your life, making Jesus real to you and making him real in you and making him known through you. Look back at chapter 15 and look at verse 26 again. He said, he shall testify of me at the end of 26. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. Now watch this. Ye also shall bear witness. So when the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer, he makes Jesus known in the believer. He makes you to know Christ. He makes you to understand the words of Christ. That's why some people pick up a Bible, they don't know what it means. Because you don't understand the Bible with your head. You have to understand the Bible spiritually. The Bible is a spiritual book, only spiritually discerned. It is foolishness to the natural man, foolishness to the man that's lost. He doesn't understand it. But when Jesus saves you, the Holy Spirit comes in and he makes known the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has a work, and his work is one thing. His work is to teach you Jesus Christ. And he will teach you personally. He will teach you in every situation. That's why the Bible says if you have ears to hear, if you've been saved and you have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this, but how many of you have been somewhere and you begin to say something and in the quiet of your heart you heard the Holy Spirit say, don't say that. You ever heard that? How many of you have ever been out somewhere and all of a sudden you just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Hey, talk to that guy about me. You ever heard that? How many of you have ever been by yourself and heard the Holy Spirit say, don't think that. Don't do that. Now, what's he doing? He's teaching you about the life of Christ. He's teaching you what it means to be a Christian. He's teaching you how to live Christ's life through you when you're all by yourself. You know what's interesting to me? There are some people that would never do certain things in this building, but they'll do them all day long out there. They come in here and say, boy, I'd never say that in here. This is a holy place. I would never partake of that in here. Listen, the Lord doesn't live in here. This is not some holy sanctuary. You know what this is? This is a sheep shed. This is a big old tin can building where a bunch of sheep gather every week to read the Word of God and worship Jesus. Let me tell you what your body is. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit where Christ lives. Some people think we got to go to that place. That's a holy place. Listen to me. After you get saved, everywhere you go is a holy place. Everywhere you go, you're taking Christ with you. He's a living reality, and the Holy Spirit will teach us his life in us. Let me say this quickly. Number three. The Holy Spirit not only restores the presence of Jesus in us, not only does he represent the person of Jesus in us, but number three, he reminds us of the promises of Jesus. I read to you a moment ago, chapter 14, verse 26. With the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you. Let me tell you, there is something, a ministry of the Holy Spirit where he, in your heart and your mind, he will bring the Word of God. He will bring the words of Jesus Christ to your mind and remind you of the promises of Jesus Christ. He will remind you in times of discouragement that Jesus promised you that I will give you my strength. He will bring back to your mind in times of worry and despair. He'll bring to you the promises. Listen to me. The promises that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will take you, dear widow lady, in times of loneliness, in places where you feel all alone in your life. And the Holy Spirit will come and make the presence of Jesus Christ so real to you and remind you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that he is with you always, even to the end of the world. He'll give you grace and comfort in a moment of death and mourning and sorrow. The Holy Spirit will remind you that Jesus Christ bore our sorrows and that he has gone to prepare a place for us and that absent from the body is present with the Lord. I have seen the Holy Spirit in places at gravesides and in hospital rooms and in places of great despair. I have seen the Holy Spirit speak a word to a believer in his heart and do greater things than all the psychologists in the world could do in a moment. I have seen the peace of God and the joy of the Lord in dark places flood a believer's life because the Holy Spirit came and reminded them of the promises of Jesus Christ. I have stood at believers' bedsides when they died, and I have watched them die with grace because they had a living reality that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And they had the presence of God in their death. I've been there with the dear widows and fatherless children who are burying a parent. I've been there with parents who are burying a child, and I've seen God's grace in their tears and sorrows, Him strengthen them by His word. Because the Holy Spirit was a living reality in their life who was reminding them of Jesus Christ and His Word. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the Word of Christ. And then let me say this lastly. We're going to speak more about this next Sunday specifically. But He restores the presence of Christ in us. He represents Jesus to us. He reminds us of the promises of Christ. Day by day by day, He reminds me of the promises of Christ. But listen to me, number four. His ministry is to release the power of Jesus through us. Look over at chapter 16 for just a minute. You're in John chapter 16, and look at verse number 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you a truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come," we're going to speak more about this next week, He's going to do these things. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There is a power of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction of sin. Listen to me. You will never understand that you are a sinner without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me, "Well, Pastor, you don't have to tell people they're sinners. They know they're sinners." Oh, no, they don't. Let me tell you what most people think. Most people think that they've made some mistakes. Most people think, "Well, I've had some errors in my life. I have some shortcomings in my life." But I'll tell you something. Most people, when you get right down to it, they'll defend their own goodness. I mean, I'm not that bad. I mean, trust me, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. Friend, you'll never understand your sin until the Holy Spirit comes into your life and confronts you with your sin. Then you see, I didn't just do a bad thing. I am, in fact, a sinner. And because of that sin, there's judgment. Then the Holy Spirit makes known to you Jesus Christ. He makes known to you, look, you're a sinner, but let me tell you about a Savior. And He draws you to Christ. Jesus said, "No man can be saved except the Father draw him." Well, how does the Father draw him? Through the Holy Spirit. Listen, sometimes I'll have people call me up and say, "Pastor, I got a neighbor. Can you come over and talk to my neighbor and save him?" I've never saved anybody. I can't save you. I can't save me. I can't save anybody. You say, "Well, yeah, but you could come over here and save him." No, I can't save him. Only one can save, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, what I can do is I can come in the power of the Holy Spirit, but by the way, so can you. And you can sit down in the power of the Holy Spirit and present the gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit working in you will convince that person of their sin, will convince that person of their need for Christ, and draw them to Christ, and you can be used of God to bring men to an understanding and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. See, the Holy Spirit gives you power how to love your wife. He gives you power how to love your husband. He gives you power to raise your children. He gives you power to get through your day, every day, in the power of Christ. We have the fullness of God dwelling in us. You young people in this room right now, you hear me. If you're saved right now, you may not get along with your parents. You might have a rebellious spirit. But if you'd humble yourself and you'd ask the Holy Spirit in you to give you the heart of Jesus Christ, He would teach you to submit to your parents as He submitted to His Father. He would teach you to walk in obedience and an honoring life and a pleasing life to your parents. He would restore your relationship with your parents. He would help you break that stony heart. He would give you a heart of love and gratitude and honoring of your mom and dad. He would help you restore that peace and joy in your life and home. Many of us are fighting for our way through this life when we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that would do it for us. Listen, what would you do today if you went down to a dealership and you were going to buy a car and they said, now, look, this car comes with all the bells and whistles. Listen, it's got touchscreen. It's got GPS. You're never going to get lost. It's even got like the steering wheel will keep itself in its own lane. They say, well, good. What kind of power does it have? Well, it's got you power. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, how strong are you? It's got all the bells and whistles, got all these features, but you got to push it. Now, you know what dealership I'm at, right? That's a Ford. No. I know, first on race day, I got it. Okay. But you've got to push it. Now you got all these wonderful features. It'll do all kinds of stuff. It'll make voice calling and hands free and all kinds of stuff. But it's only going to go as far as you can go. Do you know that's what many people thought Jesus did with salvation? That he gave us this so great salvation. He gave us everything, all of this that comes with salvation. We get our sins forgiven. We have an eternal home in heaven. We have fellowship with the Father. We have hands-free calling. We can just talk to the Father anytime we want. We've got all these wonderful benefits with our Christian life. And then he says this, but you got to push it. You got to carry it. And it's only going to be done in your strength, by your abilities. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Listen. When God gave me a salvation, he gave me all of it. He didn't just give me a great life and a great salvation. He gave me the strength and the power in which to live it. And you have a high octane. Let me tell you something. You have the most powerful motor you've ever had in your life. And you have high octane fuel through the power of the Holy Spirit in you to live the life of Christ out. You can live the life of Christ in your home. You can live the life of Christ in your job. You can live the life of Christ everywhere you go in this wicked world. You can live the life of Christ. But you can't do it. It's going to be Christ in you. It's a sad thing to see scores of people every week walking into churches hoping to get a shot in the arm so they can make it this week. Hoping to get a little encouragement. Hoping to get a little more learning. To just walk back out and go back into lives of defeated failures. That's a disheartening thing. When God has said, I have given you a salvation, and I'm living my life in you, and you can live this life if you'll yield to me and surrender to me and let me fill your life. Think about if your pastor was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and I had God's power in my life. Think about if every one of our pastoral staff had the power of God in our life. Think about if every teacher that taught the Word of God in this church was filled with the Spirit of God. Think about if every deacon was filled with the Spirit of God. Walking in His strength, walking in His wisdom, walking in His will, walking in full fellowship with Jesus Christ and His power. That every member of this church, every member of Front Range Baptist Church was filled with the Spirit of God. You tell me, what difference would that make in this world? If every believer was walking in the fullness of the power of Jesus Christ, if we all could walk out of this room saying, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Jesus, I want you to live in me. Now, friend, listen. He can't ever live through you until he lives in you. And he can't live in you until you receive him. And you have to come face to face with the reality of your own sin. You don't strive to get to God. God did everything to come to you. God finished the work. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for your sins. And listen to me. If you'll come to him today and say, Lord, I want that life. I want you to live in me. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. I'm giving you my heart and life, and I want you to come and be my Lord and Savior, and you'll receive him. Let me tell you what he'll do. He'll, right now, he will forgive your sins, and he will come to live in you. The Holy Spirit will indwell you, and friend, you can have a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ today. And you can grow in knowing Jesus Christ living through you. My prayer today is that every believer in this church would be walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Living with the life of Christ in us and through us in everything we do. Do you know who you are today in Christ? Father, I pray that you would take this simple message today. That in very feeble terms and very feeble ways is trying to explain the greatest truth known to mankind, that God, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the infinite God, wants to live in us. I pray today that we would be convicted of that thought and surrendered to live and walk in Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. There's no one looking for just a moment. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor Miller, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I mean not one shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ lives in me. I know that Christ is in me. Would you slip your hand way up high? I know Christ lives in me. God bless you. What a great sight. Maybe put your hands down. If you just raised your hand, I want to ask you a question. Are you living in the full reality of that? Are you letting Jesus Christ fill your life and mine? Are you walking in the power of his Spirit? In the power of Christ. If not, why not? What's holding you back? What's in the way? What's keeping you from living in that life? Forsake that today. Forsake it. Surrender it. Give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, and he will. How many of you would say, Pastor Miller, I could not raise my hand a moment ago. I do not know for sure that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven. I do not know that, but I want to know that. Would you slip your hand way up high? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to walk down to where you are. But I am going to pray, God bless you. I see your hand right over here on my right. God bless you. God bless you right here. God bless you. I see your hand. Just hold it up high for just a minute. Just slip it right up and put it right back down. You want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Who else today would just slip your hand way up high? Way up high. Now, those of you that just raised your hand, you may lower your hand. If you just raised your hand, I want to tell you today that you can know Jesus Christ as a living reality in your life. You can know him. He can forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life today. And we're ready to help you with that. Standing in the aisles right around us, there are people that we have on our prayer team that'll pray with you. They want to help take the Bible and show you. So if you just raised your hand right now, would you just quietly look around and find someone standing next to you right over here in the aisleway, right there with you? Find them, and in just a minute, I'm going to have everyone stand, and when I do, just slip out of your seat. You might have to excuse yourself past somebody. That's okay. They'll be glad to let you go. Just slip past somebody and go to the prayer team, and they'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be saved, when we stand, I want you to slip out of your seat, go right to somebody on our prayer team, and they'll pray with you. If you're a believer, and you want someone to pray with you, about walking in Christ and living in the fullness of the Spirit. Maybe there's something God spoke to your heart about and you want someone to pray with you. Step out of your seat today. Come to one of these dear men or ladies in the aisle and they'll pray with you and they'll help you to walk in this life with Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's all stand together. If you're able to stand with me, please stand. Father, I'm praying right now for those who've raised their hand, those who should have raised their hand, those who have not, in their heart of hearts, they know that they need Jesus Christ to save them. I pray right now that by faith they would take a step and they would come to Christ. Believers and unsaved alike, that they would come right now and do business with the Lord. If you raised your hand a moment ago, step out of your seat right now. Just step out, go right down the aisleway, right down, and grab one of the men or ladies on the prayer team. They'll pray with you. If you're a believer and you want someone to pray with you, right down the aisle, there's somebody standing there. Step out and just pray with them. Maybe if you're saying, I'm considering joining this church, or we're praying, we have this need in our life. Can someone pray? We're going through this as a family. They'll pray with you. They'll love on you and share a verse of scripture with you. They'll help you any way they can. You let God speak to your heart today. God bless you. I'm so glad you responded to the Lord today. Believer, would you pray right now where you are? Pray for those being saved. Pray for others to be saved. Pray for God's filling and fulfillment of His Spirit in your life. Pray that there would be nothing that would hinder the life of Christ in you. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, with a very humble heart today, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for your salvation that has provided us so much in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for not walking in your fullness. Forgive us for not walking in the life of Christ. Lord, if there's a particular sin in our life that we're holding on to, something that is keeping us from being all that you want us to be, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. We confess that today. Lord, we lay that down. And we ask for you the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life, Lord, that we can walk in your power. The world doesn't need to see us. The world needs to see you. We need to be witnesses for you. And so I pray that we would be deliberately, intentionally, and willingly filled with the Spirit of God. We pray this in Jesus' name today. Amen and amen.